Blog Talk Radio. We're all
everybody. I take liberty with my coffee. Coming at you on Coffee Party Radio here, Sunday morning, February 1st, 2015. How's everybody this morning? My first broadcast on Sunday morning. Had a great suggestion given to me. Actually, I have to give the credit for the suggestion to Solutions Institute founder and president Dan Johnson for reminding me that since I take liberty with my coffee, I should have a morning show. And as soon as he said it, the light bulb popped in my head going, duh. And it does make more sense. So here we are, the first time broadcasting in the morning. And wanting to bring the world to you first thing. I figure if my so-called mainstream media programs can all have shows and guests and cover subject matter and have arguments on Sunday morning, then I'm just going to throw myself out there and you'll be okay with it, because I'm sure you have some coffee, some tea, some orange juice. I have some orange juice already. You have some breakfast. You spend a little time with CNN, Fox, and ABC, and CBS, and NBC, and MSNBC, and the cesspool of disinformation and the divisive nature. I mean, we all want to be divided, right? We don't want to like our neighbors, do we? Come on. Absolutely not. I think it's much more fun to advocate for big money and have money in politics and disregard the Constitution. You know, like, let's have an argument about something that has two sides, but both sides are unconstitutional. I always want that. It is the cesspool of society and our mainstream media coverage of what our government has been doing to us for quite some time. The Coffee Party USA exists. Any grassroots organization and the activist world out there that is working hard to shine the light on issues exists. That's why I'm coming to you today, why I come to you all the time. Excuse me for a second.
So how's everybody today? I want to get right into it. Initially, my first show, follow me. I'll talk to you. No. That this morning, I planned on having NYP talks to discuss abuse going on. Something that we just announced a couple of days ago, this gift that keeps on giving to the police. Of course, no one can start off your morning. Not inside the police. It's a big difference. People out there that are inside the police, I don't quite get that. Of course, you're a criminal. But I am absolutely anti-police brutality, and it is because it is a moral and constitutional violation. Completely against violation. How the law works. That's fine. When I say fine, I mean fine all the way sometimes.
I hope you guys can hear me okay. Mic was kind of off there. JFK, you know, said it's very simple. He was quoting John Adams, and we are a government of law, not men. Government of laws, not men. And of course, when John Adams said it, when, you know, you're quoting John Adams, he's speaking about the Constitution. He's not speaking about all this ridiculous legislation that either the United States Congress and or local state legislators have decided that they need to write because they have nothing better to do but think of laws, or even worse, which is more common, they have nothing better to do but to let big money come along and drop something on their desk and say, okay, we're going to sponsor that because thank you for the donation, or thank you for the lobbying money, which is, as you know, I feel that is worse than anything that Citizens United ever did. But Citizens United did piss off a lot of people, so I'm all for going after the absurdity of the Citizens United decision. So, getting into some of the current events that are important both to Coffee Party and this radio show, and as well other organizations that I'm involved with, that are working really hard, and the Solutions Institute, of course, is one of the biggest projects. Don't know. And for those who know, I just want to remind everybody that we have our first activist conference coming up Saturday. This is coming Saturday, February 7th. Number of speakers. It's an online conference, so everybody can go. We're going to have 12 fantastic speakers. The reason that we exist, the only reason that we exist, is to help activist organizations have the tools, to give them the tools, and to help them do what they're trying to do, be organized, to achieve the voice, the unified voice in society on the issues that they're working so hard to change. We've had some wonderful successes recently that we've announced. Solutions-institute.org. And you can see that there's some wonderful, wonderful successes. Last night, yesterday was released that Brandon Keebler, 16 years old, Brandon Keebler, has just launched a new organization against the NSA, that's against surveillance. Brandon has successfully fought the NSA before and brought national media attention when he was 14. Gotta love it when they start that young and they want to fight. they get mad and they see things and they want to fight. Brandon is going to be a leader in this country, I have no doubt. The young man is extremely intelligent. He's extremely motivated. He understands the Constitution at a very young age. And just there's nothing wrong with that. And he wants to protect. He wants to help protect us. He doesn't believe that surveillance is that the massive collection of data of people who live in the United States who aren't committing any crimes, nor without a warrant, is justified. He's right, of course. So he's fighting them. So I applaud Brandon, of course, and anybody else who's doing stuff like that. But the Solution Institute, the first ever ACT-CON conference, 12 speakers, including John B. Wells, international, lean, renowned radio host, activist, was president of the Coffee Party, one of the managing partners of Living Room Conversations. Debbie Lynn Mono is going to be speaking, and so excited about that. So glad that she's able to jump in, because she's got a lot of important things to say, of course. Brian Engelman, also a radio host, activist, out there in Los Angeles taking care of it. Derek Brose, writer extraordinaire, activist, spiritualist, knows what he's talking about. That's the wonderful thing. People, they know what they're talking about, covering a myriad of subjects. He's also a speaker at the event. So I want you guys to tune in. Just go to solutions-institute.org. Get the information on the ACT-CON conference. It's online, like I said. It is the first time something like this has ever happened. First time that activism and activist groups, this is really so much geared to activism and activist groups that it is important for you to tune in on this. First time ever that something like this has been done where the tools are there to help pass legislation. How do you do that? How do you down all the way down to web design and marketing? Anything that helps your organization get the light shined at the direction that you want it to be shined. So I want to cover some current events before I get into some longer subjects. Naturally, there's plenty of content to keep us talking this morning. There's no doubt about that. One of the biggest issues of this past week, of course, is the Keystone Pipe vote by the Senate, which passed. The House had already done it the previous week. This tends to be one of the more partisan issues that we have in our society, right versus left. Now that the Senate is controlled by the Republican Party, this is the first time that the Keystone Pipeline has been able to be passed in the last few times that it has been brought up. I believe there were 62 votes. I believe it was 9 Democrats that voted along with 100% of the GOP. And, of course, the Keystone Pipeline is controversial in the aspect of the environment, and we do know that there is a partisan argument when it comes to the environment and big oil. It has been going on in this country for quite some time. And we know that one of the issues that's being discussed is how this creates jobs. Now, anybody that has any kind of savvy, any kind of desire to find out about whether or not this Keystone Pipeline creates jobs, simply knows that the jobs have nothing to do with this discussion. It is not going to create any mass amount of jobs, even temporarily. It's only going to create a couple thousand jobs temporarily, and they're going to go by the wayside when the thing is built. So do not bring the job argument to the table when it comes to the Keystone Pipeline, please, because it is absolutely false. It has nothing to do with this whatsoever. This is about big money. This is about a battle between the legislative and the executive. And for once, because lately it's never that way, it is the executive that is the properly empowered branch of our government, certainly historically, certainly constitutionally, when it comes to governing the international ability of, or allowance, I guess allowance is a better word, governing an international company from doing anything on our soils. The executive's been handling that since the beginning of this country. So that battle is real, but the jobs argument is absurd. Now, one of the arguments that is real is the money battle, because there is a left versus right money battle that is strictly about big money and politics. It has nothing to do with the environment, because the left side of the money in this argument is already screwing up the environment. So, when you're talking about the trains that transport the oil right now, which is never discussed, of course, that's Warren Buffett's wheelhouse. That's who owns the trains that transport the oil now. Again, for those who are paying attention to this issue, you will know that there are battles about the transportation of the trains going through certain areas. New York State is one of them that is involved. And New York State is involved in a couple of issues when it comes to big oil, either the transportation of oil and or fracking. Leave fracking out of the discussion. So there was a report that was done last year. Transportation of the tar sands, oil, et cetera, that the Keystone Pipeline is going to exchange, and how it is the spills in 2013 alone from these trains, these train cars, the amount of spills that happened just in 2013 was more than what had happened in this country the prior three decades. Also, as part of the report, there was information that came from the governing body of the government relative to the safety of the cars and how the actual safety, the use of the cars to transport tar sands and the condition of the cars was not up to standard. And the enforcement of making them safe and up to standard was not being done. And, of course, here we are back to big money. So please understand that there is a battle of big money behind this. And, of course, we know the other side, because that's the side that gets a lot of play, the Koch brothers, the Koch industry side, and how they're deeply in bed with this issue politically, how they own the tar sands in Canada. Remember, this is Canadian. We're talking about something being transported across our soil to our refineries to be shipped overseas. So before we get to that, you talk about the Koch brothers. So they're, this is about profit. This has nothing to do with jobs. This is about profit. The Keystone Pipeline is going to enhance their wealth without question. And maybe give another 20 people, a couple of extra dollars. But again, this is not about jobs. So Warren Buffett and the Koch brothers are going at it with their billions, and they're lobbying, and they're trying to make sure nothing happens. And of course, President Obama has already said that he's going to veto the bill, regardless of how much he is in bed with Wall Street and or big money that we know to exist. Because he is not the ethical constitutional president that he said he was going to be when he made all those wonderful campaign promises. But in this particular instance, he doesn't need to get into the argument about the money, because he's absolutely right when it comes to, yes, the executive is the controlling body for this situation. It's an international company that is going to be on American soil. And the executive certainly has that authority. Legislators are just certainly doing this politically. And, last but not least, this is also, as Senator candidate in Georgia, Derek Grayson, somebody I respect a lot, Republican Senator candidate, he's going to be running against Johnny Isaacson. He's going to be running for Isaacson's seat. Who cares about Johnny Isaacson? I mean, he's the incumbent, but he's going to be running for the seat. I don't want to give Isaacson any credence at all. He's a bad man. But as Derek Grayson just discussed at length about the Keystone Pipeline, it's a false argument because all they're doing is, you know, every couple of years they give. He calls it the Mike Guy Syndrome, which is a wonderful way of putting it, actually. You know, and he discusses at length how the Keystone Pipeline works recently. The Minister of Truth, Derek, spends some time discussing his issues, and he wants everybody to pay attention. And he really got into it right. And, of course, again, if you take the time to look, and you don't just look up news stories by Fox News and MSNBC, if you go beyond the rhetoric, because, again, that's just two sides of a cesspool, you'll know that, again, this is a big money argument, that the executive certainly has the authority, and that being anti-Keystone Pipeline is actually constitutional, which is another reason why I am anti-Keystone Pipeline. And I'm kind of happy that it's unconstitutional, because then I don't have to be pissed off at myself for running the hard line, because I am not a hypocrite. I really am not. I do my research, and if it is constitutional, I have a hard time being against it. You know, just so you know, I more than likely won't be, unless it is so absurd that we need to move on. And that usually isn't the case, which is why I say if we go back to paying attention to the Constitution, that we would solve a lot of our problems from the right and the left. Believe that. So, of course, the Keystone Pipeline, we'll see if the president keeps his word and vetoes it. Certainly, apparently there is not enough votes in the House or in the Senate. 67 would be needed in the Senate. I believe it was 62 votes that voted for it. So where they're going to get the other five? Well, we'll see if the money comes out. But to override a veto, certainly in the House, it'd be a lot harder because you do have, from the partisan side, you do have enough Democrats in the House to put a stop to any kind of override of a veto. Actually, it would actually work better the other way around. If there was a bill that pissed off the Democrats where they wanted to have an override where they thought that the president was wrong, it'd be easier to get an override there than it would be on a situation like this. So pay attention to that, everybody. It is very, very important. And, of course, remember that one of the issues that's going on with the Keystone Pipeline, as Derek just recently pointed out, again, I mentioned Derek because he's worth mentioning from the standpoint of next year's election in the state of Georgia, the use of eminent domain that is going on here, because the taking of private property is a bad thing, and the use of eminent domain for a corporation to make profits is wrong. That's not why it exists, everybody. You know, the takings clause is in the Constitution, absolutely, but that's not why it was set up. The Constitution isn't written for private corporations. It's written for the bettering of society. So I'm going to take another quick break. I'll be right back.